You've just flown in. It's an exhausting exercise coming, particularly when you've got a volcanic cloud around disrupting air traffic. You clearly, after the enormous success, you don't need to do this financially. Why do you still enjoy, why do you still want to travel and perform?
Well, it's the only thing I know how to do, and I'm not ready for the garbage heap. I'm not ready for the, I was recently elected chairman of the National Songwriters Hall of Fame. And so I have responsibilities there. And one of those is just kind of showing the flag around the world and speaking on behalf of songwriters. And believe it or not, last year I had my very first hit record as a singer-songwriter performer. The album was called Just Across the River and did very well on the American charts.
That's really interesting. The first time your very self,
yes.
Jimmy Webb,
yes.
made it.
I'm a late bloomer.
High. That is great.
And it was a wonderful record. It's been a wonderful experience. And I want to share that with my fans here who have always been extraordinarily warm and friendly and have shown up even in the direst of times. Even at the Byron Bay Festival when the mud was about 3 feet thick.
It's a celebrated event, yeah. Gumboots, you need them. Let's talk a bit about how it started, because I was interested, you grew up in I think it was Oklahoma and Texas. And,
right.
And your dad was a preacher.
He was.
And you played the organ.
This was my mother's dream. This was as high as she could dream, was that I would be church pianist cum organist. When we finally arrived at a church that could afford an organ, I started playing organ as well. But I was about age 12, and she had started me off as a six-year-old and really cracking the whip and mean not being able to go outside and play baseball with the other boys. And frankly, I thought it was kind of a bum deal.
Well, you obviously played a fine line of him. I wonder, Jimmy, if there was some connection, though, between, those hymns are beautiful things. They're beautiful bits of music. Do you think it had a role in you actually going on to be successful?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's where it came from. And a lot of it came from the improvisation that I used to do when I would do, weddings, funerals,
everything.
Offertories, where they pass the plate and it takes 20 minutes and you're playing Amazing Grace, but you can't just plod through Amazing Grace for 20 minutes. You have to start fleshing it out. You have to embroider a little bit. You have to decorate. You have to begin to create effects and improvisations. And pretty soon you go, darn it, I think I can just make this stuff up.
Did you ever get into trouble for overdoing it?
I got into it's interesting that you would ask that question, because some of the more elderly ladies in the church would come around to my father after services and say, Reverend Webb, your son is doing strange things to the hymns. And my dad would call me into his office and say, son, what are you doing?
Tone it down. Lighten up a little bit.
What is that, jazz or what? I was, little beknownst to him, I was off and running, I was like a secret agent. I was slipping out the back window of the house and going off to play rock and roll in a band and go to dances. And actually, we were not allowed to go to dances in the Baptist church.
Of course.
So, of course, I went to dances. See, let me explain it this way. My father was one of the first ministers in the United States to assume that rock and roll was about sex. And as it turns out, he was absolutely 100% correct about that.
Indeed. And the contagion seemed to spread. Let me ask you, do you think that then explains when, jumping forward a bit, when you, you know, you went to live in California and your father decided to go back to Oklahoma. And you said, no, I'm going to stay here.
Yep.
And he said to you, I gather, that this songwriting thing
is going to break your heart.
But I wonder if it was actually the morality that he was, it's going to break your morals, boy.
No, he had dire concerns about where I was headed. Not just heaven or hell. I mean, he wanted me to have a successful life. And I think he thought my chances were slim.
We're talking to celebrated songwriter, performer over here on his seventh or so Australian tour, Jimmy Webb. Let's talk about the first song that you wrote for Glen Campbell, which I think was a huge success, which was By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Remarkable thing, because you wrote that song for him, and yet the first record you bought was by Glen Campbell.
That is a very strange story that I cannot explain, but... I was 15 years old, when this record came on called Turn Around, Look at Me. And Glenn had it was a top 10, if not a number one record with this. And I borrowed $1 from my dad and said, Dad, I want to buy this record. And he said, buying a record, huh? You know, this is where he always
That'll lead
was.
To sex, That'll for lead- sure.
Yep, that's a problem. Got trouble right here in River City. Anyway, so I went down and bought this record, and he let me do it. God bless me. Let me do it, and I wore that record out. And I would pray at night, dear God, someday please let me meet Glen Campbell, you know. And all right, so now we cut ahead 10 years or so. Well, not even 10 years, 5 years. And not only have I met Glen Campbell, but I'm writing songs for him, and those songs are on the air.
And he sang it so beautifully, didn't he?
And his voice and my music always had a resonancy. They were greater than the sum of their parts. God knows if I had been singing them, nothing would have happened. But with Glen singing them, they became part of the culture. They were distributed to the masses. And just because of that wonderful mix of music and voice.
It was also the time. I mean, I've read that you said somewhere that, you know, that music for our forebears was created, was written for rich and snotty and snobby people, you know. and whereas the music of your time, of your generation... It did want to say something about the people and the times.
The songs I wrote were about blue-collar people. The kid from Galveston who caught up in the war in Vietnam and suddenly realizes that he just wants to go home. He just wants to stay alive long enough to get home and be with his girlfriend again, see his hometown. When I see those seabirds flying in the sun at Galveston... those were my heroes. Those were my... Billy Joel said one time about Wichita Lineman that he likes a lot, and that he sung, by the way, on just across the river. He said, it's a song about an ordinary man thinking extraordinary thoughts.
The Wichita Lineman.
And I could have kissed him. In fact, I did kiss him, but because yeah, you know. Here's a peer. Here's somebody I really respect and admire a lot, and he gets it. He gets what I'm trying to do here, and that's write about ordinary people, and yet people who have magnificent visions moving through their heads and brains, and obsessions and loves and their lives are as important as any lives that have ever been lived. They just lived on a different scale.
Another song I'd like to ask specifically about, we're talking with Jimmy Webb, a songwriter and performer extraordinaire, who's basically, I don't think there's a Hall of Fame that you haven't been inducted into, pretty much.
I haven't been, I'm not in the Australian one yet.
But that is a very broad hint, and I'll pass it on.
That needs to be rectified. No.
was MacArthur Park. The impenetrable beautiful, mystical MacArthur Park. Where the hell did that come from?
Oh, I would say impudent, but I don't know. That MacArthur Park is a pretty straight-ahead thing, you know. The wonderful writer W.H. Auden actually said, when I look in the mirror, I look at my face, and it looks like a cake left someone. It looks like a cake left out in the rain. And I had picked that up somewhere in college because I thought that was an incredible metaphor, and I knew what he meant by that. So people seem fascinated by the cake in the rain, but actually I didn't even, you know, it's not that original. It's sort of borrowing a metaphor of his to describe a love affair, really.
Yeah.
And MacArthur Park is just all about, it's a real place. It's on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. I used to meet someone there who I really cared about. We'd have lunch, long lunches by the water. It was very, very beautiful. And it came to an end too soon. The relationship, you know, she was off and married to somebody else, and I was writing MacArthur Park. But it was inspired by a record producer named Bones Howe, who said, can you write something for the radio that has classical elements and yet still remains part of the pop rock genre? And I said, I can do that, you know, because I thought I could do anything.
Well, I mean, it is worth mentioning that you are the only artist. I think you're still the only artist, Jimmy Webb, to have received Grammy Awards for music and lyrics and orchestration.
I got a Grammy Award for the orchestration on MacArthur Park, and since it was one of my first arrangements, I was very knocked out. That was 1969, I believe, I received that.
You were talking about you'd like to be inducted one day. I was actually at an Australian songwriting event last night, and I was sitting next to, talking with one of Australia's really great songwriters, a guy called Paul Kelly. I don't know if you know his work.
Oh, I do very much.
And
so, yeah.
We were talking about writing, and he said, it's a knack. He didn't say just a knack. He said, it's a knack. And I realised that I had the knack. Is great songwriting a knack?
Well, that's very interesting, because that's a very straightforward and shorn of all its pretensions.
It's a very Paul Kelly thing.
That's pretty much what I would say about it, too. I think there are elements of it that can be taught, but if you don't have that germ of talent, that knack, I think that a lot of that teaching is a waste of time, because there are, believe me, hundreds of thousands of people who go to seminar after seminar after seminar, spending their hard-earned money, thinking that they're going to learn how to do this by reading a book that someone else has written. And I,
like
by the
you.
Way, I've written a book.
You've written one.
I'd like to take this opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you that my... Actually, I'm not gonna even mention the name of it. It seems to have helped some writers along the way. They come to me after my shows and say, "Would you please sign my book?" I think Paul's absolutely right. I think it's not just a knack; it's a fire in the belly. It's something that you have to do. It's not something that you'd like to do if you get around to it. It's something that you have to do, and it drives people around you absolutely crazy. Your parents, your wife, your wives, your children. It drives everybody crazy because it comes first. It's just the most important thing in the world. And I would say if it isn't, then you're probably wasting time.
Jimmy, that seems a very good point to leave it. I should mention you're playing tonight at the Basement.
Yes, ma'am. I love the Basement.
It's a great
divey
place, isn't
it?
It's fantastic. And moving on to Adelaide and Perth and Melbourne and Hepburn Springs and Canberra and Byron Bay, and I think it is not gumboot time of year yet. Oh, it is gumboot time. It's been pouring up.
I'm actually not sure that I'm going home this time. Every time I think I might stay, and this just might be the time that I...
Do you have this is I'm sure you're asked this all the time, but I am intrigued. Do you have a favorite song of your own?
Your dearest
daughter?
The favorite song, the favorite child. One of my favorites is The Moon's a Harsh Mistress, which was originally recorded by Judy Collins and then Joe Cocker and a few other people. But most of my favorite songs of mine are not very famous.
Jimmy Webb, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck tonight at the basement. And yeah, stay in Australia as long as you want.
Well, I'm sure the immigration officials will have something to say about that.
No, you came by plane, not boat. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.